Everybody's lock stock in step. And everybody's conforming to the king saying, you're going to worship me. And I'm the deity now. I'm God. But three guys have the courage to say, no, we're not going to. We're not kiss-ups. We're not stuck-up. We're stand-ups. We're not afraid because God could save us. He's got the power, and he will save us.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In a year that has caused millions worldwide to experience fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's never been more important to get God's word out to as many people as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will allow us to do just that. If you'd like to help this ministry as we reach out to the world with the hope found in Jesus Christ, just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When the Heat is On.
These guys did four things right when they were threatened with the heat in their life. Number one, don't worry about defending myself. When you go to work and the heat is on you there for being a Christian or for making a moral stand or for doing the right thing or whatever it is, and somebody doesn't agree with you, doesn't like it, don't worry about defending yourself. Just quietly trust God to take care of your attackers. When you're in the fire, God's a whole lot better firefighter than you are. And he's got a whole lot more water than you do. You know, I live back in the canyon, and one of the lakes back there, all week they've been having helicopters coming in and dropping down and picking up the water and going out to put out all the different fires. And that seems to be quite an inefficient way to get water to a fire, but sometimes you just do what you have to do. God, on the other hand, has an unlimited fire hose. He created all the water in the universe, and he's a better firefighter than you. In Daniel 3:16, the first thing they did was this. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had said, I'll give you one last chance. They said, we don't need to defend ourselves in this matter. And by the way, implied here is God doesn't need us to defend him either. He says, we're not going to dignify your last question by answering it. He said, you know, who's going to save you, me or God? So we're not going to answer that question. We're not going to try to defend ourselves. We're not worried about what's going to happen. And so we're not impressed by your threats. Don't worry when people attack you. Number two, remember that God has the power to save me. Doesn't matter what kind of mess you're in, what kind of crisis, what kind of difficulty, what kind of fire you're trying to put out in your life right now, just remember that God has the power to save me. God is God, which means he can do anything. And in Daniel 3:17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace. See, they still didn't know if, you know, they were going to get laid off or let off for this. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we worship is able to save us. That's quite a statement. We know our God is able to. He's got the power to save us. But that's not enough. The third thing is, believe God will save me. When you're in the problem, when you're in a crisis, when you're faced with your whole life falling apart, you not only have to believe that God has the ability to help you, the ability to rescue you, the ability to deliver you and save you, you must believe he will. You must expect that he will save you. Not that he's just able, but that he will save you. And the second part of Daniel 3:17, they said, and he will save us from your power, O king. Now, think about this. These guys, they're in their 30s. In the entire nation, three guys stood up to the king. Everybody else in the nation is bowing down every time the royal band plays. Everybody's lock stock in step, and everybody's conforming to the king saying, you're going to worship me, and I'm the deity now. I'm God. But three guys have the courage to say, no, we're not going to. We're not kiss-ups. We're not stuck-up. We're stand-ups. And we're not afraid because God could save us. He's got the power, and he will save us. Now, if you're going through the fire right now, you really need to get in this book, because there are hundreds of promises in the Bible from God to you. If you don't know those promises, it's like not knowing what's on your insurance policy. You know, when you don't know what's on your insurance policy, you worry. If you know your insurance policy covers that procedure and this thing over here, you go, I'm not going to worry about the insurance to pay for it. If you know what God says he'll do in your life, you won't worry. When you worry, it means you don't know what God has promised you. That's what it means. You don't know what God has promised you. There are 7,000 plus promises in the Bible. Here's just one of the hundreds of promises about deliverance and rescue. Isaiah 43. Some of you need to write this one on a card and put it on your refrigerator. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. This is God's promise to you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. I believe God can save me, but I believe God will save me. When you walk through the fire, the flames will not consume you. That's a literal promise of God. Now, based on those three things, I'm not worried. I know what God can do, and I'm expecting him to do it. Number four, I announce my loyalty to God no matter what. If you're having to get ready to go in and have the one-on-one with your boss or do a confrontation somewhere, you say, I'm announcing my loyalty to God no matter what the outcome of this conversation is or this confrontation is. And they said this, God has the ability to save us. We believe he will save us. But, verse 18, even if God doesn't save us, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. That's pretty courageous. They're announcing their loyalty to God no matter what. He can save us. We believe he will save us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to change. We're not going to back out. Now, I want to pause here for a minute and say that when God works in your life, you got a problem in your life, he always works one of three ways. When God delivers you, there's three ways he can deliver you from a problem. When God saves you, there are three ways he can save you from a crisis. When you need rescuing, there's three different ways he can rescue. You might just write these down. It's not on your own notes. You got to probably make some room on the sidelines. This is one of those outlines that I didn't give you any room. But here are the three different ways on the screen. Number one, when you're in a problem, sometimes God saves us from the crisis. Sometimes God saves us from the crisis. I thought this was on screen. I guess not. He helps us avoid the fire. And this is what I call a divine detour. And God could have done it with these guys. They could have been marked for execution, and the king is convinced, well, let's don't do that. And sometimes when you're in a problem, God will just take you out of it. That's nice. That's always fun. He saves us from the crisis, and he helps us avoid the fiery furnace. Number two, sometimes God saves us through the crisis. Sometimes God saves us through the crisis, and we walk through the fiery furnace. He doesn't take you away from the problem, but he takes you through the problem, and he gives you the strength to handle the problem. And he doesn't remove the problem, but he gives you the strength to handle it. He takes us through the crisis. And then the third way is that sometimes God saves us by the crisis. By the crisis. And what I mean by that is sometimes the problem in your life is not the problem. The problem is what saves you from the real problem. And you have a crisis. Have you ever heard these stories? You've all heard these, where somebody goes into the hospital for, you know, a problem in their neck, and when they get there, the pain in their neck wasn't a real problem. The problem was that they discovered they had cancer in their stomach or something even far worse. And sometimes a smaller problem is the warning sign that gets your attention for a bigger problem. And sometimes God even allows a problem because he wants to save you. Let me give you an example of this. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, up here on the screen, it may be necessary, and sometimes pain is going to be necessary in your life, it may be necessary for you to be sad for a while because of the many trials you suffer. God doesn't pull you out of every problem you go through. He doesn't. Sometimes it's necessary for you to go through the problem, and sometimes it's necessary for God to save you in the problem because of the many trials you suffer. Their purpose, the purpose of these trials you're going through, is to prove that your faith is genuine. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. It's purified by fire. So your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested so that it may endure. Then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's at the end of time, and when Christ comes back, he said you're going to be rewarded for the fact that your faith proved to be trustworthy. Now, why is that? Why does God allow me to go through pain on this planet? Because God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. This is not heaven. The no sorrow, no tears, no sadness, no sickness, that's coming in eternity. Right now, you're in preschool. Your life here on earth, this is a school. You're learning. You're learning some things. And God wants you to learn. And if life were incredibly easy to you and you never had any problems, you wouldn't learn anything. You'd just be a selfish little brat if you always got your way about everything. So God's more interested in your character than your comfort. He's more interested in your salvation and your sanctification, becoming like Christ, than he is in your security. And he says, sometimes God saves us by the crisis. You know people who were headed the exact opposite way of God, and then they went through bankruptcy or divorce or the loss of a loved one or something, and it got their attention, and they came to Christ. And the problem actually saved them for eternity. Was that problem worth it? Yes, the problem was worth it because it saved them for eternity. Now, these guys have given a direct challenge to Nebuchadnezzar. His claim to be God, everybody's going to worship me, I'm number one, I'm the best, you're all to honor me. And they said, no, we're not. And so Nebuchadnezzar, of course, gets angry. Up here on the screen, verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar became so furious that his face distorted with rage. You've probably seen this in your household. I'm just guessing. Yeah, just guessing. Nebuchadnezzar became so furious that his face distorted with rage, and he commanded that the furnace, notice this is almost laughable, be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Now, why does he need to do that? I mean, human beings are going to fry at normal fire. Okay, it doesn't need to be 7 times hotter, okay? This is what you call overkill. It's redundant. It's unnecessary. He doesn't need that thing to be 7 times hotter. Just normal fire will kill a person if you throw them in it. So why is he doing this? I thought about this a lot, and I actually suspect that Nebuchadnezzar was secretly worried that the Hebrew guy's God might actually help him out. And so let's just make this thing sure. I don't want to look bad here. So heat that puppy up 7 times more. We're going up to 11. Okay. And so that's what's happened here. Now, when somebody reacts like that, this is just a little side note for you when you're at work. When somebody obviously overreacts to your faith, they just like come unglued when they hear you're a Christian. You need to realize that the more extreme your attacker, the more insecure they are. The more insecure a person is, the more over the top they become. People who are secure in what they believe aren't insecure about what you believe. I know what I believe. It doesn't matter. I don't get blown away when an atheist or an agnostic or somebody of other faith sits next to me. I just engage them. It doesn't threaten me, doesn't bother me. Why? Because I'm secure in what I believe. When people have the interior doubts and they're fighting with their own guilt or they're fighting with their own conscience or they're fighting with their own past, they often take it out on you. So you just need to understand it. It's not about you. When all of that vile stuff that's coming out, that the person who's over the top angry about your faith, it's not really about your faith. It's about what's going on inside of them. So let's see what the king does, and then let's look at what God does. Verse 20, it says this. Then the king ordered some of his strongest soldiers to bind their hands. This is of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bind their hands and feet with ropes, which, again, that's unnecessary if you're going to throw a guy in a fiery pit. Okay, really? We're like overkilling this thing. Bind their hands and feet with ropes and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and they threw them into the furnace fully clothed. But because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire, remember, turn it up to 7, the flames leapt out and killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. Oops. But securely tied up, these 3 men, fell down into the blazing flames of the furnace. Okay? Now, what happened next is 6 things. And when you know these 6 things, you're going to take a deep breath when you're going through the fire, when the heat's on in your life, when you feel like you're going under, when you feel like everything's coming at you, you're under enormous pressure. What happens when I trust God in the furnace? Now, on the back of your outline, this story shows the 6 benefits when you trust God, when you have faith in the middle of the furnace, the fiery furnace. And if you feel like right now you're going through hell, you better pay attention because you need to know what God has promised to do if you'll trust him. Write these down. Number 1, when I'm going through the fire, if I trust him, God will walk through the fire with me. That's a big relief right there. You won't be alone. God's presence will be with you. Over and over and over again, God has promised his presence no matter what you go through if you will trust him. He says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And so in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, 25, they throw him in this fiery furnace, and here's what happens. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar, this is the biggest emperor in the world at the time, Nebuchadnezzar jumps up in amazement, and he asks his advisor, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them in the furnace? Yes, we did, his advisor said. Yeah, we did. Well, look now, he shouted. You can see 4 men now in the furnace. They're walking in the furnace, unbound. That means the ropes are burned off. Walking around freely in the fire, walking around, unharmed. And this 4th man, this 4th guy that you can see in there, look at him, he's right there. He looks like a son of the gods. Now, this phrase, a son of the gods, it's just a euphemism. He's saying he looks like an angel. He looks like he's not human. He looks like he's, divine of kind of sort. So he's saying, that guy, there's the 3 guys we tied up, and there's that 4th guy walking with him through the fire, and that guy doesn't look like your normal human being. He looks divine. It wasn't a son of the gods. It was the Son of God. It was Jesus. Jesus was walking through the fire with them. Walking through the fire with them. And he's promised to walk through the fire with you too. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Is God a liar? No. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Almost the last words that Jesus said when he gave the Great Commission before he goes back to heaven were these on the wall, Matthew 28:20. Jesus said, I will always be with you to the very end of the age. I'll always be with you. Let's go back to that verse we looked at in Isaiah, that promise again. Let's put that one back up on the screen. In Isaiah 43, it says this again. We read it earlier, and it says this. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. That's God's presence. I'm going to be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you're not going to drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you're not going to be burned up. Flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord. When you go through the fire, when you go through the storm, when you go through the flood, this is a certainty in your life. You're going to go through the fire many times in your life. Count on it. So you just need to know what to do when the heat's on. Those four things that they did, and now the six things God says he'll do if you trust him. If I trust him first, he'll walk through the fire with me. Okay, second, write this down. Second benefit, if I have faith in the furnace, God will burn off everything tying me down. I love this. God will burn off everything tying me down. Do you notice that in this fire, they didn't get burned. Their clothes aren't singed. They're not even, you know, they don't even smell of the fire. The only thing that got burned off were the man-made ropes they'd been tied up with. Question. What's got you tied up? What's holding you back? What's limiting you from being all you're meant to be? What are the limitations in your life that God wants to burn off in your life? You see, God may take you through the fire. You're going to come out on the other side unhinged, unsinged, untouched, unburnt. But the things that will be burned off, the stuff that's tied you down. The stuff that was holding you back, the limitations in your life. You see, pain never leaves you where it finds you. When you're going through life, you're walking through life, pain picks you up over here, but it doesn't drop you off there. When it finishes, it drops you off over here, and you're not the same woman. You're not the same man, because your character has been tested, refined, and grown in the fire. And all of a sudden, you're over here before the fire, you're immature. Now you come out of the fire, mature. Over here, you didn't trust God at all. You're full of doubts. Over here, now pain leaves you. You trust God. You're full of confidence. And God has burned off the stuff in your life that was holding you back. Now, really hot fire actually can cauterize a wound. You've seen this in movies. Somebody's shot in a battle, and they're bleeding to death. And they'll take a hot poker and they'll push it against the skin, and that heat will cauterize the wound and stop the bleeding. In olden days, they would take gunpowder, literally, put it in the wound, light it. It's excruciatingly painful, but it stops the bleeding. And sometimes in your life, God has to stop the bleeding in your life with a little fire, with a little heat. Are you just going to bleed out and you're not going to make it? And so he cauterizes it and he burns off everything tying you down. This is called what the Bible calls a refining fire. Look at this next verse in your outline. Isaiah 48 verse 10. I have refined you, but not in the way that silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. You're not going to go through a fiery furnace literally in your life, but you are going to go through the furnace of suffering many, many times. And God is refining you in that fire. Now, silver and gold, you know, they heat it up the way they get rid of the impurities. They put it at a very high temperature and it burns off all the impurities. So then you have 100% pure gold, 100% pure silver. And if you ask a silversmith, how do you know when the silver is pure? He says, when I look into the cauldron, the pot, and it's pure, I can see my reflection in it. And when God knows you have been purified by the fire, he can see his reflection in you. You look like Jesus. You're more Christ-like. You're a godly man. You're a godly woman. And it is the fire that produced that, burning off the stuff that was holding you back.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. At a time when the coronavirus has millions of people worldwide isolated and dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is of paramount importance. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out with the love of God during this unprecedented time in history. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to Daily Hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
Today, when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. It's a beautifully illustrated 365-day devotional from Pastor Rick that offers daily encouragement from the Bible. Go to PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000 and to receive your copy of Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.